I know for some, it has been the worst year. For some of us, maybe not as bad as what we've exaggerated it to be. But in one way or another, this has not been a great year. We've continued to deal with this pandemic that continues to see people die at about a rate of 1,000 a day at this point on average. And you know, we're approaching the 10 million mark for the number of cases we've had across this country. And here in Colorado, we are seeing our numbers just go through the roof. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, it's just, maybe it's not necessarily the pandemic, but it's this idea of that we just can't be together the way we would like to. We can't come together in church and hug on one another and love on one another, because you know, that hug could be possibly deadly, and we don't want that for anybody. And so, you know, as the church, not just this church, but as the church across the country has had to work through this and figure this out, it's every church is doing things, you know, a little different depending on who they are and what have you. And so, you know, our decision has been to be online only until we know that things are safe to come back together. And we will continue to do that to keep everybody safe. So anyhow, we are in this worst year ever series. And so as we explore, what we're doing is this series is meant to explore what we as Christians can be grateful for, even in hard circumstances, pointing to the hope we have in Christ while acknowledging the real and hard things we have and even are experiencing at this moment. We've looked back to the beginning and to the fall of humanity in Genesis 3. We've seen that even in dire circumstances and the upending of God's good plan for the world, He provides grace and makes a way for salvation. It's because of this that we can be thankful for His grace. And last week we looked at Job. And to say the least, Job's life was put through the wringer. Job's story shows us that suffering can be a gift of God's grace to save us from arrogance and pride and to refine us. And we saw that Job's response was repentance and a deeper acknowledgement of God in his life. And this week, we're going to look to a pretty familiar text in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to, as we look at Hebrews 12, we'll see that we can have confidence in God's work in our lives and in the world and practice praising Him so we do not grow weary. Now, I've run a few 5K races, and I've even run a 5-mile race, but I've never run a marathon. First of all, I don't have an interest in running a marathon, other than to maybe say that I've done it, but there's a lot of training that goes into a marathon. There's a lot of hard work. Now, I'm not saying that I'm lazy and don't like to do the hard work, but the other part of it is you're just running and you're passing trees, and to me that seems kind of boring. I've actually, in the last couple of years, have started doing more of the obstacle type races, like the Tough Mudder and the Rugged Maniac, where the Rugged Maniac is a 5K, but you've got 25 obstacles, climbing walls and going through mud and jumping over fire and that kind of stuff. That, to me, that's a little more interesting than your normal marathon. And then the Tough Mudder, you know, that's just 10 to 13 miles of the same thing as the Rugged Maniac, but for any of those, you have to put in a lot of training. You have to put in a lot of work ahead of time. It's not like you can wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to run a marathon, and then just go do it. I mean, if you can, then more power to you, but I don't know too many people that can do that. And so, but as I said, I prefer the obstacle races myself. But those who run marathons and long-distance races know what it means to hit the wall. Hitting the wall is when the runner suddenly loses their energy. They feel the fatigue and pain of what they're going through. And when this happens, many runners stop. Oh, they'll stop and walk for a while and try to start running again. Or even they'll drop out of the race at that time. They start suffering cramps and everything just starts to shut down on them. And researchers discovered years ago that during this moment of a race, when the runner hits the wall, their brain starts to dip in dopamine, which literally dips their motivation, their excitement, and their drive to continue. It is literally like hitting a wall, this like a brick wall being in front of you, because everything just wants to shut down. And in order to combat this dip, many athletes have implemented the spectator strategy, where they invite their friends and position them in certain places along the race to help motivate them, to encourage them, to cheer them on. And instead of hearing their own mind say, "I can't do it," they're hearing their friends and their family telling them, "You can do it." And if you've been to a race, even the 5K races, the organizers put people all throughout the race to just cheer everybody on, to help everybody move forward. So today, let's look at our text, Hebrews 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 3, and then we're going to look at 28 and 29. So it's Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, and then 28 to 29. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. And then verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Now, one scholar, William Lane, writes about the background of Hebrews, saying the multiplicity of house churches throughout Rome suggests why diversity, disunity, and a tendency toward independence were persistent problems in the early days of the church. In Hebrews, there is evidence of tension between the audience and those currently recognized as leaders. There is an evident pastoral concern on the part of the writer to bring the groups together in a social context of shared cordiality. And then the scholar A.W. Pink goes on to say, the cloud of witnesses orients us towards an unshakable kingdom and the faithfulness of God. The beginning of this chapter uses the imagery of a race. A race calls for self-discipline, personal exertion, perseverance. The inheritance is set before us in promise. The promise is secured by faith and patience, by actually running the race before us. See, throughout the New Testament, we see several examples talking about running a race or running a marathon. We see Paul uses that often. And Pink says, not the singer Pink, but A.W. Pink, says a race calls for self-discipline, personal exertion, and perseverance. A year like this can be exhausting. A year like this can bring us, to our knees. We've seen the rise in depression this year. We've seen rise in suicide. We've seen the just so many problems that have happened this year because of this pandemic. It can be exhausting. Things have not gone well. And not only are we faced with our own issues and disappointments throughout the year, then all this other stuff has been piled up on top of it. Now, in the Roman world, in order to run a race, you had to be a citizen. So to run in the Roman Colosseum, these foot races that they would have, these marathons, you had to be a citizen. Because in order to receive the reward at the end of the race, you had to be a citizen. And I think that's important to understand that as we run this race, as we as Christians run this race through our lives and in this journey, we need to be citizens. We are a citizen of the kingdom of God. We are citizens of an unshakable kingdom, as the writer of Hebrews says here at the end, where he says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. As citizens of this kingdom, we face problems. We are always going to face problems. There is no promise in the Bible that once you receive Christ into your heart that everything will be A-okay, that you will never have a problem in your life. What we have is a God, a Savior who understands the pain and the suffering that we go through in our lives. We see a God who has grace and mercy for us even when we are at our lowest in our lives. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Think about that. The writer of Hebrews in verse 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. See, our Savior suffered for us. Our Savior was willing to be crucified, was willing to endure all of this pain from sinful people so that we could have salvation, we could be restored to God. And when we are going through our hard times, when we've turn from focusing on ourselves, as we even saw with Job last week, if we start centering all the problems on ourselves and we take our eye off of God, everything just seems to cave in. And yes, it is not easy to have faith in moments when your world is crumbling around you. But we have a Savior who endured for us and understands our pain, understands our suffering. And he's given us the gift of the church. And we are citizens of this unshakable kingdom, and the church itself is kind of like our group of spectators that are there to cheer us on. You know, when you're on a 5K or a marathon and you have those people that are cheering you on and saying you can do it. That is an image of the church as well. That we come together to help one another, to cheer each other on, to say that you can leave that old life behind and move towards this life with Christ. What I love about the rugged maniac and the tough mutter for myself is that when you do those, you go with a team. That when I did the rugged maniac, it was with a team from my gym, and when I did the tough mutter, I went with the Glather boys, and I was the oldest one among them, and they were so gracious. they waited up for me, but we helped each other along. You know, if you struggled with an obstacle, there was somebody there to give you a hand. And to me, that is just a beautiful picture of what the church is. That the church, the people in the church are there to give you a hand, to pull you up over that obstacle, to cheer you to go another mile or 100 yards, whatever it takes. So then the question I'm sure some of you are asking right now, well, what about now? When we can't even be with our team, when we can't be with our church, what do we do when we can't be with each other during the week, when it's not Sunday, when things are a little more normal, and when there's no pandemic in the way keeping us from being together? I mean, because even during normal times, we're not with each other 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We come together on Sundays and sometimes Wednesdays, and we have potlucks and we do that. But there's all those other hours of the week where we're not together. And that's when we need to learn to look to Jesus. Those are the moments where Jesus, he is there cheering us on. And when we focus on him and when we look to his word, we can receive that encouragement. We can receive that cheering on. You know, the best way to do that, if when you're feeling low, is to turn to the Psalms. There are many Psalms of encouragement to help us through those dark moments. There's moments when we can't be with one another as the church and help each other. The Psalms are there. God gave us his book, his word to be an encouragement, to be an instruction, to be something there for us to turn to in all moments of our lives. My favorite to turn to is Psalm 34. And I'm just going to read verses 1 through 9, but anytime I'm feeling down or I feel like I can't move forward, I turn to this. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. And even verse 10 goes on. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. I've had dark moments in my life. I've had moments where I felt like God had just abandoned me. But then I can turn to Psalm 34. I can turn to so many other psalms just as a reminder that I have a God who understands me. I have a God who knows what I'm going through. I have a God that just is seeking or asking that I would seek him and lean on him. Life is not always easy. And 2020 may be the worst year ever for some of you, for most of us, but 2021 may be even worse. 2022 could be even worse than that. Now, I'm not trying to bring you down, but the fact of the matter is, life does not always go the way we want it. And how are we going to face it? We face it by looking to Jesus. We face it by looking to the one who endured so much for us. The one God who knows what we are actually going through. And we have the Psalms, we have his word to guide us, and we have the church to be there, to walk on this journey with us, to be our teammates, to carry us along, to maybe put us on their back, piggyback. I remember as a kid, we would playing that when we were up in the woods and getting tired, one of the bigger kids always seemed to piggyback somebody else so that we could all get out of the woods together. And I know right now it's not easy for us to do that. And as a church, we've tried to do everything we can to make sure that we have a way to get together. We have Wednesday night prayer. If you haven't joined us for that, it really is a moment each week where we do get together and check in with one another. We may not be able to physically be together, but mentally, emotionally, we're there together. We can check in and help and encourage one another and pray for one another. We do online worship services because we feel that we want everybody to still be able to connect. And if you're on Facebook Live, you can connect by interacting with one another by texting through the thing. Now, don't do it too much, because then you won't hear what I'm saying, and then no. but no, interact with one another. And as we go forward, the governance board is going to continue to try and find creative ways for us to be together. We don't know where any of this is going. The one thing we do know is that Jesus is still on his throne. Jesus still loves us. And Jesus still wants us to lean on him. And so that's what we will continue to do as a church and as a people. And so let's pray. Next week we'll conclude this series, Worst Year Ever. And then in 2 weeks from today, we're having our prayer and praise service. And we've done